Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Today, I am so excited to welcome to the show our guest, Lillian Bajor. Lillian is a personal finance and life coach, minister and owner of prosperity coaching and financial literacy programs. Blending spirituality and money, she helps people overcome their money challenges, blocks, or misconceptions and open up to a prosperity consciousness so they can thrive. Her comprehensive coaching systems style stems from overcoming her own financial challenges, plus a strong foundation in business, a solid financial education, as well as in-depth studies in finance, psychology, metaphysics, resilience modalities, body intelligence, and the healing arts. Her company serves the important need of financial literacy. Its mission is to educate and empower women and men with financial confidence and a strong financial foundation. I love that, Lillian. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Monica.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I've had so many conversations with my listeners, and frequently the conversation of spirituality will come up. There seems to be a pull. People seem to feel like they're against each other, right? My spirituality has to be in this box. My money has to be in this box. The money can't contaminate the spirituality, which I think is so fascinating because as an Indian, we believe the opposite. Everything in our world is a part of our spirituality, including our wealth or our money or whatever, right? So I find it fascinating how here people tend to kind of rip it apart, rip those two pieces apart. And I think, Mary, they're such a big part of who we are, both of them. So I love that you combine them also. That's wonderful.
I'm going to be honest with you, it wasn't intentional. It was actually spirit. Like, I was a minister at the time, and I decided that I need to really get the whole money conversation because I learned a lot about business, but not about money. And I was determined to really master it because I kept having challenges and seeing challenges in my family. And I was so grounded spiritually that when I started working with money, they got married because I too had a hard time with money. I was like, this is too dry. It's too boring. But it wasn't when I was able to just really come into my spirituality and let that be my come from.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free. I also love that you talked about you had a lot of business expertise, but not a lot of money expertise. And that's really, I think, going to be a key piece of this conversation, because this is what I find out there. I coached CEOs and entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and all for 15, 20 years. One of those things that came up consistently is business and money are not the same thing. Because you have a brilliant business mind and you make a lot of money does not mean that you really understand money. right? That's why so many people lose and gain money so fast in their businesses, because they love building a business, but they don't really understand how money works. So I think it's fantastic that you understand that those are two separate things and they got educated on both of those, right?
Yes, I grew up in family business. So I've been working in family business since I was 14 after school, but it was pleasurable. It was normal and natural. It wasn't even like a chore or anything. It was something we all did, me and my sisters. So it was fun. We were hung out. So we worked. And as I got older, then I started working in my father. He had restaurants and then he came to California and then he had a wholesale stationery's business, which I will get into later. So I grew within the family business and my father was an open book and a very savvy businessman. But money was his thing. It's like I ran a whole department, the advertising specialty department of the company. It was a special division, but the money was something he kept his eye on all the time. He didn't feel at the time that women really needed to earn money or to know about money. He was from that generation. He didn't give me the knowledge because he just didn't think that he always came from the mindset that women are taken care of. And so it was something that I later realized that I want this education. Like I have all this business knowledge, but when it came to money, I was making stupid moves. Not stupid, but I would say I didn't manage my money well. I could spend it, but I didn't manage my money well. I was not financially literate.
No, that's a big deal, right? Is learning how money works and learning how to utilize it in the best way in your life is really, most people don't get educated on that, men or women, but less so women than men.
You know, lots of people my age, things are changing now, and I'm very grateful and happy about it. And I'm sure lots of parents are educating and their children and letting them be aware of the whole money conversation. But in my generation, in the 50s, women didn't even work. So that was just before me. But so we've come a long way. Yeah, a lot of women were not, I was lucky that we had family business, that I received all my business knowledge. But money was a different story back then.
Yeah. It's also interesting is, for instance, my family. So I was born in the 60s, right? So it was still not something that women were taught at all. But in my family, so I was the oldest of three sisters and I was still very interested in it. So I learned a lot from my dad. Like I would help him write checks and we would talk about bills and taxes and like all of those things that no child really wants to learn. But somehow I was interested. Like it was just a way for me to spend time with dad. But the other two girls had no knowledge at all. And so now as we're grown up, women, both my sisters are very smart women, but I'm much more financially adept than the other two are just because they weren't interested in the conversation. So some of it is environment and some of it is just an interest. And for those ladies that are listening and you've got young children and you want them to be financially literate, it's important for you to engage them in the conversation because then as they grow up, they become more financially literate. I think this is another thing that happens is people are like, you don't want kids to be thinking about money all the time. Money is not important. Let them be children. And yes, all of those things are true, except that the money is not important because the reality of life is no money equals homelessness, illness, all of those other things, right? So money is a reality of the way that we live. Educating our children, if you want to make it fun or cute or whatever, that's great, but you need to engage them in that conversation because you don't want to just throw them out into the real world and then have them have to figure it out. You'd like to have them have some sort of foundation around that, right?
Yes. And I want to bring up that the mindset of people that would think you don't want children to think about money. Why not? Like, why would money be that subject that you would put it in a place where, oh, children shouldn't be exposed to money? Money is not a burden.
The burden, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. You teach them to brush their teeth. You teach them to hygiene and nutrition and exercise and education. Money is just another part of life. So to bring it out of that place where it's a taboo, oh, kids don't burden children. That's what I'm hearing when they say children shouldn't need to know about money. Sure, yeah. They need. It's a part of life.
It's a part of life. It's really sweet. My nephew, my youngest sister's son, I often will give him candy money for his birthday because his favorite thing in the whole world is candy. He's 8. And so I give him candy money. And then we take the candy money, whatever it is, whether it's $10 or $20, and we go to the candy store. And then we tell him, you've got this much to spend. So you need to figure out what you would like. And so he might spend, excuse me, my nose is so itchy. He might spend 2 hours at the candy store trying to figure like, wait, okay, I could get this. That's really cool. Or I could get these three items. They'll fill my basket more or whatever. So he's learning about creating priorities about what's important to him. He's learning math. Like he adds up every single cent in his head. He's amazing at mathematics because of this. He reads all the descriptions on the back so he knows what he's getting. So it's helping his reading. So this game of budgeting, and then he's learning about money inadvertently, right? So this game is turned into this thing that's really helped him in school, in math, in reading, in prioritizing when he's trying to do homework. It's what do I prioritize? What's more important? Or if I want to do this game or play the piano, which one's more important? You know what I mean? So it's so interesting the way that she took a money conversation and turned it into a life learning lesson. Do you know what I mean? I'm so amazingly impressed with that and the way that it's changed his outlook on life because it's very playful. There's nothing heavy or burdensome about it, but he's learning about all of it at the same time.
I think it's brilliant.
I do too.
Yeah, it's like learning buying decisions at the age of 8 without even knowing that you're like learning something that's so valuable and important for his life.
It's so cool. Anyways, I totally hijacked the conversation. Sorry. So let's start here by defining prosperity the way that you see it.
So this actually came to me. So that prosperity consciousness is being in harmony with the flow of life and being in harmony with our true self. So spiritually, when we're spiritually aligned, we're aligned with prosperity. And that is really the way the universe is. It's like the universe is really, and I know you know this, a spiritual universe. We live in a spiritual universe. We're not taught that, but we do live in a spiritual universe. Everything is really in harmony and in balance. And it's a perfect ecosystem. We messed with it. We messed it up. We're experiencing the results of that. Oil spills, rainforest, ozone layer, and all the climate issues we're having. But before all that, I'm sure when you were young, and which certainly when I was, things were really very much in a lot more harmony, and they still are. And as humans and spiritual, connecting spiritually, it's being in this consciousness of knowing that you're taken care of. Mm-hmm. It really does come from within. And I'm speaking of intuition, inspiration, meeting the right people, being in the right place at the right time, being lined up with mm-hmm. that. And that is that prosperity consciousness where your life is in balance and there's fulfillment because there's a alignment to our true nature. And so we're being really guided from there. And the world really isn't totally, it's not set up like that because we go to school and we used to be all taught that these are the subjects that everybody was in a cookie cutter. You're going to go through life and this is the way it is. So connecting to our natural gifts and talents wasn't a part of it. But when we move into that consciousness of really being inwardly aligned, we're taken care of and we're aligned with prosperity.
So talk to me about the prosperity mindset. So that's what prosperity looks like, right? But talk to me about the mindset.
So the way I see it, so there's more than one layer. The prosperity mindset is really training the mind to think prosperous thoughts because a lot of the languaging and a lot of the messages are they're like limiting us. You can't do that, or you don't do this, or no. And all this language and all this direction of how to live our life and what to do. So we're a lot of times being limited, but our minds can be trained through affirmations. That's one step to grow a prosperity mindset. And another really big piece is growth. To constantly be educating and growing, and especially if in our experiences, if we have a success in life, or we've done something good, or we've had a great day, to really review that and to anchor in what was great about that, and to really like align with that, how I moved through that day, how I created that, how I participated in that, how did I make it happen? Even though there may have been some bumps and some roadblocks in the way, that I moved through them and I got to where I needed to be. And so that's part of the prosperity mindset. But another really big piece is when there's a soul failure, and some are bigger than others. I've had my fair share when it came to money, and that's why I'm doing the work I do. But I was in a lawsuit. I had bankruptcy. I had all kinds of things. And so to use those experiences, which can be like so difficult to work through and to grow through, but to look at the gain. And what is it that I didn't understand? What did I need to learn? How can I use it for my upliftment? What are the treasures here? I'm really big on that, that they're like, and when I was in school, they called it a golden rung in the ladder, that we're climbing the ladder. And it's like getting a Harvard education. Like you go to school and you learn all this knowledge, but when you're out there, yeah, in the streets and you're doing it and you're taking these risks and it doesn't work out, then instead of doing a launch and then not success and then poof, I'm never going to do that again. No, I did a launch. I didn't succeed. What did I learn? What can I do differently? And start going into that. That is a prosperity mindset, because it's expanding and it's looking for upliftment and gain rather than judging or contracting.
So what do you think it is that stands in people's way of really experiencing prosperity? Like, I know this idea of contraction is a big piece of that. What causes that?
Fear. It's fear of the unknown. And a lot of people, like, it stops them and staying in their comfort zone. And so my life was one where I was kicked out of my comfort zone because of my a lot of it was financial challenges. And that was really an impetus of what is pushing me and to constantly really do the work I'm doing around financial literacy, because I'm learning and growing and understanding that I need to master this. For whatever reason, I really need to get it. I have the business skills. I have a lot, and I've learned a lot, and I've had a lot of challenges for a reason. And my father had a lot of challenges, which I'll share, but really, it's that fear and thinking that our mind is like finite. It's like a computer. I think many of us know this, that whatever you put into a computer is what you're going to get out. If you needed to put a certain key or a certain letter in there, if you needed to code it a certain way, you're not going to get in there if you don't have the password. So think about that. We really need to program our mind. The information we're getting from our mind is what we've learned, what we've seen, the messages we've received. It's been from childhood. We don't even remember half of them. Some of them are inherited beliefs. So there's a lot of, I'm not going to say it's junk, but it's a lot of material that probably doesn't serve many of us.
Right.
And so this fear comes in. We don't even know where it's from, but it contracts us and it stops us from experiencing prosperity. And the example that I'd like to share is my father. He was an incredibly savvy businessman. He came to this country in 1956, did not speak the language. He spoke Hungarian. My mother and my two older sisters, which were babies. And he had the courage and the bravery to, I'm going to America. And it was really because in his country, there was communism and all kinds of things. And he was really a man that wanted to make a lot of money, and he felt very limited. So they came to America and he became a multimillionaire. And in 1980, at that point, he was just incredibly wealthy. And he invested in real estate. And I don't know the reason behind that. I don't recall what that was. But I worked with him at the time. And he bought this, there was a brand new block, a brand new building that was built in Inglewood on Ivy Street. And the warehouse is where his business was, where I worked. And then there was another piece of property, a building on the lot, and he rented to Milne Truck Lines. So it was quite a large block. So he owned that. And he owned property in Palm Springs on Camino Real. It was a gorgeous home. And he also owned property up on Sunset Plaza. It was on Rising Glen. It was a gorgeous home. So 1980, he was growing very fast. So he factored his business, a portion of the money, probably more than he should have. And I know about the factoring because I remember going to the office and I was really young. I was in my 20s, early 20s, but he was very much of an open book when it came to business. So I was familiar with that.
Is factoring, just for my ladies that don't know?
So factoring is you sell your invoice and you get paid up front a certain percentage because there is a guarantee that the money will be paid. So you're getting the money in advance. And it's a way to grow your business. And he didn't know about that. I think that was something that was really new. Whereas if you grow your business and it's your own money and your own cash, and I know that you know this, that you really don't want to really be factoring money. Where it's almost like, I don't know what to compare it to, actually.
It's pre-spending.
It is definitely.
It's preemptively spending. It's a little bit like a credit card.
But it was for business growth. He was very much of, it was just the expansion that was happening. It was, business was booming. And then there was the recession. Mm-hmm. And the factor pulled everything. And his bottom, he lost everything. He lost everything. And so it was a really difficult part of life because I was there and I remember it and everything just went crashing down. And the part that I remember all of it. But first of all, for my father, who has passed away since then, is he became a millionaire again. But he did learn in business, where before he was a wholesale stationer. So he carried all kinds of office supply that you see in Office Depot and that you see in these office supplies. He had whiteout, he had copy paper, he had big pens, Scripto pens, Pentel, all of these, like tons of office supplies. That's what he did. But his business was wholesale. So he was selling at a very small margin, but very large quantities. And so that was his business. So what he did after he went bankrupt is he decided that everybody would always need a pen, that no matter what, people would always need writing instruments. So he became a millionaire again, and he did writing instruments, and that's all he did. And then he expanded into advertising specialty products, which is the division I got to run and I grew into. But the thing that I want to highlight is real estate, is that what I was super surprised at is that he lost all this money in real estate. And he contracted. He went into fear. He didn't educate himself. So the thing with my dad is that when it came to real estate, he didn't do the same thing. He didn't use the same mindset, prosperity mindset, because he had an incredible prosperity mindset. But instead of expanding and educating himself about real estate, he contracted and he moved because the house that he was in, that he owned at the time, he lost. And so he moved into just a couple of houses down. He lived on the same street for 2 decades on Rising Glen, but he was renting. And then I remember that the man wanted to sell the house, the owner, and he offered it to my father, and my father would not buy it. He was afraid. So he totally contracted. He went into scarcity mindset, and he wound up regretting that, really regretting that, because he was accustomed to living on top of a hill, the quality of air up there. And so just the whole lifestyle, and he wound up living in Beverly Hills in a beautiful apartment, a huge like condo but he didn't buy. He wouldn't buy. He paid rent for the rest of his life. And he was wealthy. He had the money. But so he didn't educate himself around real estate.
I have a question around that. So I know this is an interesting thing to say on a real estate show, but real estate is not for everybody. There are some people that it just is not the right fit for them, and they still build wealth. Now, we know the numbers, like 90% of wealthy people in the world own real estate, and many of them have become multimillionaires through their real estate investments. So real estate is a huge part of the portfolio of the very wealthy. However, there is the 10% that's not true for it. It sounds like your dad was one of those people. I've actually never met anybody that's like that. So real estate is not for everybody. I get that. It is the one thing that we in America have access to that the government completely supports that is a kind of no-brainer way to build wealth because of the way the laws work here in the United States. But not everybody wants to get into it. And I can see from your dad, he had this huge real estate empire. He lost that empire because he made some notable, I won't say bad, but questionable decisions in another business that was supporting the real estate. So then when he decided he didn't want to do real estate. When we talk about that, he didn't get educated. He didn't get back into real estate. But did he suffer for those decisions? What do you feel was the opportunity cost, maybe, or the consequence of him not getting into real estate on his second round when he rebuilt?
It was a very substantial loss.
Okay.
Certain age where it was like he could do the things he did because he was really young and he had this enormous amount of energy, enthusiasm, and desire and ambition. But at that age, it was different. It was just, it came at a time he had grandchildren by then. My daughter was born in 1980. So he's an older man. There's a lot more that plays into it. And I think it may have chipped at his sense of empowerment over, I can do anything.
Okay.
I can't. That's not my arena. I don't have the knowledge. And for some reason, I don't know what the block was. So get the knowledge. In business, it was almost like a intuitive, automatic response. This didn't work. I'm going to do this, and made it happen. And it was like really so quickly. But in real estate, it was, and I personally, what my takeaway was, he didn't have the knowledge to begin with to take that kind of risk. I didn't have the answer. Why go factor and try to grow the business this fast? You're doing great. So I think it was spinning out because it sometimes the growth is so quick and not watching economy and not knowing. And so it's not having enough education on the broader scale. There's me, my life, my business, what's going on the planet, what's going on globally, what's going on in the world. Am I watching the trends? What it's like having a more expansive point of view rather than just, this is my world, this is what I'm doing.
Got it. Interesting. I hope that, ladies listening, I hope you actually enjoyed that. And the reason that I really wanted to dive deep in that is because we do see very successful people that have these fear responses to perceived failure, right? He lost everything in real estate and just decided, I'm not touching that again. I don't know enough and I don't want to learn enough. I'm done. And I think that this can happen. We've had so many people on my show that lost everything in 2008 or had huge failures because of bankruptcies, medical bills, all sorts of stuff, a child that needed help, right? Had a birth defect. So there are so many people that have built up these amazing real estate businesses and then it completely collapsed underneath them. The people that come on my show are usually the people that pick themselves back up and made it work again. So I never get a story on this show of someone that just said, nope, I'm done, and experienced a lot of success in a different way. But there's a perception in the family, or at least in his daughter, that there was a loss there that happened because he wasn't resilient around that business. So I don't know that I got a full understanding of what happened. There's no way to know in such a short conversation. But what I do want to know, what I do want my ladies to hear, is that this happens to the very best of us. And it does not need to be the end, right? When you watched your dad and it was the end for him, it's inspired you now to pursue education around that, to help teach others around that so that they don't make the same mistakes, even though this mistake didn't really cost your dad his lifestyle or his happiness or necessarily his self-confidence, but it cost him something that you're sensitive to and that you don't want other people to experience. And I think a lot of that, if I'm hearing you, is just not living in fear. Like, you want people to be free from that fear monster so that they can live in all the different kinds of prosperity that we have: financial prosperity, health prosperity, feeling in alignment, joy, the prosperity of joy, which I call bliss, right? All of those things are important to people like you and me. And maybe that was a piece of the loss, but it does sound like it was much bigger than we can really pin down in a show. But I just wanted people to hear this conversation because they don't hear it here. And I wanted people to understand that I do get it, that sometimes it's hard and things do fall apart. And sometimes things really fall apart. And then at that moment, you choose, or in that time frame, right? It may not be a moment. It may be a moment. It may be a phase of your life. You choose, what are you going to do with that? What you were talking about. Are you going to learn? Are you going to expand? Are you going to grow? Are you going to contract? Is fear going to start controlling your life in a certain way that doesn't serve you?
Yes. And don't, yeah. So it really is, I think there's a lot of factors, and I really do love this conversation because it's who you are and who I am. And so we're the next generation.
Right.
So he's also of a different generation. Done a lot. So there's a lot here. I'd probably really enjoy going much deeper and get a lot more insight. But it did change his personality. Change. It really did. And what I love is that I changed me too. But so when I look at financial literacy, it's hardcore all money topics. I go wide, all money topics, call that financial literacy, because I realized, and I think this is part of why I naturally go there, and because I also have a background in healing, is you want to go wide. You want to really understand money, because if you're going to be making money, you're going to wind up wanting to buy real estate or a condo or something. And then you're going to really need to know about just other conversations around money, mutual funds, having investments. So it's just this really deep and wide knowledge of money that when things happen, because they will, and they do, that you can take it in strides.
Right. And be resilient. Bliss is really about emotional resilience. But emotional resilience happens partnership with resilience in all areas of your life. Your emotional resilience leads to resilience elsewhere. But that resilience elsewhere has to be a priority. In other words, you can't just say everything is fine if it's because it's fine inside of you. Yay, fine inside of you. That's the single most important thing. But if you want your life to work, you need to be resilient in the entire spectrum of what you're paying attention to, what's important to you, right? And so that whole idea of being resilient is all, what bliss is really all about, is being able to come back to this place of balance. Balance isn't my favorite word, but like I call it the equilibrium. So you come back to this place of emotional joy, where then you can look out into your world and be resilient in everything else that you're doing. Even if things are crashing down around you, you can now be resilient and bring them back to a place that serves the joy in your life.
Yes. And I'm going to bring this up because what I'm hearing you say, I love, but there's also that inner alignment to prosperity.
Yeah.
So here's what's evolved for me, is the inner alignment with prosperity, regardless of what's happening on the external, to just keep going deeper into that and letting that be a well that's really nurtured and cultivated. It's like I do the work every day because things are changing constantly. I'm working with people. I'm living in a world. I'm out there. I'm participating fully. So I'm realigning always, times on a deal, sometimes a couple or more times a day, I'm realigning myself, even during this conversation, because I'm talking about a lot of loss and that I experienced and lived through and was a part of. And then the wealth, it was incredible wealth after that. I was there for the cycle. Thank God that I got to see the wave of it. It came right back. And then he made it last, but he did contract as a personality. So he contracted as a personality. It didn't feel to me like his confidence, because he exuded that, but it did do something. And I don't have the word for that right now. It will probably come up for me. So I love that you really went into a deep dive, and maybe it'll trigger something in the listeners and they'll all have their own aha from it.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah. Yes. And I know that I was simplifying it a little bit, and I didn't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but I was trying to get there. What was that thing? And sometimes we can't pinpoint it. It's just something changed.
Yeah, and for him, honestly, what I'll tell you is he contracted.
Yeah.
I think I didn't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. He really lived like he was immortal, like he could do anything. Nothing could hurt him. Mm-hmm. That's the way he lived his life. And that's the way he just took these huge risks and just kept bouncing back. And I think that loss really just chinked his armor that I'm not anymore. That something
he's mortal. Happen. It made him mortal.
It made him feel more mortal.
Yeah.
Feel, holy cow. Something can really, ouch, big
yeah.
ouch.
Yeah.
And he didn't show it. So I can't share. He was the kind of guy that didn't really show it.
Got it. This conversation has been amazing. I know there was some stuff we didn't cover and we're also out of time, so we can't do the three rapid fire questions, but I loved the conversation and thank you for being vulnerable with me, Lillian. I know you, I know our spirits are connected. So I wanted to do a deep dive in that and I hope that was okay. And thank you so much for being vulnerable with me and talking through that. I super appreciate that.
It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it too. I'm used to going deep and I like it. So
good. Yes. Yay. Thank you. So you've been amazing. I'm sure my ladies are going to want to know how to get in touch with you. So talk to us a little bit about that. Like, how can my ladies get more?
I'd love to connect with whoever would like to find out more about my work and what I do. My website is lillianbajor.com. And that's L-I-L-I-A-N, B as in boy, A-J-O-R.com. You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah. And ladies, Lillian has offered Ashley for Extra to do a meditation with us that's about inviting prosperity into your life. So she's going to guide us through that in Extra. So stay tuned. If you are subscribed to Extra, you've got more. And if you're not, go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com and you can sign up there. For those of you that are leaving Lillian and I now, thank you so much for joining in this conversation. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.